We are again certainly thankful to see each one here. We desire your prayers. You know, last week we started off talking about marriage and how God set it up. We're really trying to build upon some things and in a little study and something that is so valuable and so important. And I think another good place to turn is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at some scriptures that deal with, things that we do even before we're married. I think a lot of people think, well, once I get married, I'm not to commit adultery. But, you know, it's good to prepare ourselves for marriage. I think very few people do that anymore. Prepare yourself to be married. Prepare yourself for that person that you're going to be with. And I know there's a lot more to that than the subject we're dealing with tonight. Again, the subject we're trying to get into is the subject of adultery, but there's things that we can prepare ourselves for in life, and I think one of those subjects is the subject of fornication. I think a lot of people feel like, well, I'll kind of settle down later, and I can sow wild oats right now. That's not a good thing at all. That is very ungodly, it's unscriptural, and it doesn't fit anything that God's taught us as His people to be. And so we want to deal with the sin of fornication and look at some of these things that God talks about and how we need to be as God's people. And it reminds us that faithfulness is so important even before we get married. And I wish a lot of people understood that and knew that. I've seen so many problems come into marriages because of things that people bring into marriage. Other problems that they've brought in because they didn't prepare themselves for marriage. I think it shows a lot of love, both for men and women, that even before we meet whoever we're going to marry, that we purpose in our heart to wait on them. I believe that shows a lot of trust, a lot of care. And it makes that person feel like they're valuable and special. I believe those things are taught in the Scripture. And certainly we want to encourage those things. But we're going to begin in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we come to you looking to your Word for guidance and strength. Father, we know that wisdom comes from you. And Father, we want to gain our wisdom from you as we go forward in life. And Father, see the goodness of serving you and honoring you and being the people that you would have us to be. And Father, again, one of the greatest places that we have an opportunity to show your light is in our marriages. It's in our homes. And even how we prepare our homes even before we have one of our own. Father, makes a big difference. And Father, we're so thankful for the words of wisdom that you give us. We pray that we could apply them and hold them true in our lives. That, Father, ultimately what we're doing is we're letting your light shine through us. And, Father, being those people that you would have us to be, that peculiar people, zealous of good works. And, Father, help us not be consumed by lust or desire, but help us be led by your Spirit. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, again, picking up in verse 13, let me drop back to verse 12. It'll help some. He makes this statement in verse 12. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And you know, whenever we allow sin to reign in our bodies, we're allowing sin to have power over us. That's talked about greatly also in the book of Romans. And we don't need to let sin have control of us. As a child of God, having the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we need to let the Spirit of God lead us in everything that we do. And not let our flesh, our feelings, our emotions lead us. He says, meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Now he gets to our body, and notice what he says. Our body is for the Lord. And notice how it doesn't just give it, well, my body's for my wife, or my body's for my, you know, a woman's husband, or things of this nature. It says it's for the Lord. Everything that we do in life is a reflection of our love for God and our care for Him. And this is even before we get married, after marriage, and everything we do, we need to remember that our body is for the Lord. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Now notice that statement there. Our bodies are the members of Christ. Whatever we do with these bodies is a reflection of our relationship in Christ. And I'll say this, when we commit fornication in the flesh, we haven't just done that to somebody else or to ourselves. We've also done that against God if we're a saved person. We've committed a sin not just against ourselves, not just against somebody else, but against God Himself. And we need to understand that when we're dealing with these subjects, because everything comes back to God in Christ. We're going to give Him glory and honor even by how we use our bodies in this world. And there are boundaries that God has given us that we'll deal with in just a moment. He says, "Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid." I should not take something that is unto the Lord and use it in a sinful way. And we know that has done a lot of harm to the Lord's work over the years. It has done great damage when people have treated their bodies as, "Well, this is me, this is mine, y'all leave me alone, I'll do whatever I want to with it." No, my body belongs unto the Lord. It's His. And how I use it is a reflection of my love to Him. And I think over in 2 Corinthians, believe chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, not just going to turn there, but even the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth there, he said, "I have espoused you to one husband." And he said, "I want to present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ." If we're living like the world, we're not doing that. And we're missing out on rewards. And I could get into the subject of the bride of Christ very easily. And I'll say this. God doesn't want something as a part of His bride. And that's different than salvation. That's a separate thing. But God doesn't want something a part of His bride that's been just going around with everything in the world. God doesn't like that. We have been espoused to one husband, and that being Christ. And so we don't want to take our members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot. He said, "What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." And he's not saying there that we're married to the harlot when we do that, but we're using something that's meant only within marriage. It's meant only within marriage. It's the way that God has ordained that, and we're misusing what God has given us. And by doing so, we're committing spiritual adultery. Not only physical, but spiritual adultery. "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" There's a lot of people that look at church buildings and say, "Well, this is the house of God." And I know what they mean by that. Even the Scripture refers to the church as the house of the living God. But that's not really as much the building as it is the members that make up the body. And the members are what is important there. And we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, somebody came here and broke windows and desecrated the building and spray painted it and did all kinds of things to it. We'd say, "What a shame." But isn't it a shame when we use our bodies against God? That's a shame. We shouldn't do that. He says, "Know ye not that ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." And that price we know is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were not purchased, as Peter's writing put it, with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now with our bodies and our salvation being bought with such a great price, the blood of the only begotten Son of God, how should we treat that purchase? He said, "You are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This is not us. This is for the Lord. And again, our bodies are His, not our own. And we need to show Him that respect by how we live in these earthen vessels. He says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Now that takes out a whole lot of things. It clarifies a lot just in one verse. How are you going to avoid fornication? A man has his own wife. A woman has her own husband. And within that, you're taking care of homosexuality and a lot of other perversions that the world has out there today. But fornication is a heavy sin. It is a big sin, and sadly there is a lot of people that treat it like it is nothing, but it is a major deal. And I could mention pornography and other things that are other forms of fornication, but I believe it's easily clarified in verse 2 that every man is to have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. He says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence." I'm supposed to love my wife, am I not? That's right. "And likewise also the wife unto the husband." The wife is supposed to love her own husband. That's scriptural. That's good. "And the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife." I often make this statement, and I know ultimately I belong unto the Lord, but in marriage that is honorable before God, I'll tell you this, I belong to my wife. I don't belong to somebody else. There's people that say, "Well, this girl over here thinks you're attracted, this person over here." Yeah, I don't care what somebody else thinks. There's one person that matters because of my relationship with God and because of what God has directed. Only person I'm concerned about is my wife. And the only person I want my wife to be concerned about is me. That's biblical. That is the boundary. That is the rightful place that God has given us. And anything outside of that boundary is fornication. There's a lot of people that like to try to play games with the Scriptures and say, "But what about this? And what about all these other things?" And I've heard so many things I wouldn't dare repeat that people have tried to say to justify their sins. But I'll say again, verse 2 of chapter 7 clarifies everything. There is a boundary that God has given to where people can avoid fornication. You also find it in the book of Hebrews chapter 13. The bed of marriage is sanctified. It is undefiled before God, isn't it? He follows that up by saying, "But whoremongers and adulterers will God judge." It is easily clarified to what fornication is and what it is not. And he even says in verse 5, "Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." And notice he brings it back again that even within marriage, our purpose is to honor and glorify God, not be selfish in things that are ungodly. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to turn to a few different places and just read a few scriptures to get things accomplished. And we know we're dealing with a sinful world here in Romans chapter 1. People that are given over to a reprobate mind and all the directions that they've gone. And he says in verse 28 of Romans chapter 1, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." The world thinks a lot of things are convenient, and they think it works out for their benefit and their good, consuming things upon their own lust. The Bible says these things are not convenient. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Sinful people are not only glad to do sins like fornication, it seems like they're glad when other people commit the same sins, don't they? And that's with a number of sins, not just fornication, but that's the subject we're dealing with today. God teaches us to not be a part of that. Fornication is one of those sins that should not be named once among us as become a saint. And the reason is because we're a separated people unto God. We're a peculiar people, zealous of good works. If we're committing the same sins that the world is in, we're not putting God first. But also we know the dangers of this sin. How many children are born out of wedlock in our day? How much destruction has come from children not growing up with their mamas and daddies? That is a damaging sin. How much trust is lost between husband and wife because of things that were done outside of the bond of marriage even before they came together? There's a lot of damage that is done. And of course, people are seeking to fulfill their own desires, and they're not seeking to build a family that's built upon the Lord and raising up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Things outside of the boundaries that God has given, the wages of sin is death. It creates a lot of problems. Sin has consequence. And we have seen a lot of it in our day and time because of people living unto the flesh instead of living unto the Lord. It does a lot of damage. And people say, well, what I do before I'm married really doesn't matter. The Bible begs to differ. And not only that, the facts beg to differ if you just look at things out in the world. Y'all know the incarceration rate for children that grow up without their daddy? Not knowing who their daddy is, don't have that family unit together? They're highly more likely to commit suicide, they're highly more likely to be involved in crime, highly more likely to go to prison, have more violent tendencies. You know, they talk about this horrible masculinity that we believe men should have. Well, evidently, masculinity is evidently a good thing because children that grow up with a mama and a daddy turn out a lot better. So evidently, having that daddy, to correct them and to instruct them and guide them has a huge impact on their lives. And when we allow fornication and these other things to come in, it messes that order up. And we need to understand when we're doing that, we're giving ourselves over to a sinful nature that leads to more sinfulness and more sinfulness, even to the point that we can be given over to a reprobate mind. It is not good. It is not godly. And again, these things are also things that will lead into adultery. When you don't value your wife before you even meet your wife, you're more likely to cheat on your wife. That doesn't make it every single person that does it. It's not a broad stroke thing. It gives more of an opportunity because you've set your focus on lust instead of on a union that's created to glorify and honor God in our bodies. That leads to adultery later on down the line. It leads to other problems. And again, that being the subject we're trying to deal with and study, this just gives further evidence that when we're led by our flesh instead of the Spirit of God, sin has consequences. It causes problems. And we see that in the Scripture. Turn with me over to the book of Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, he starts naming the works of the flesh. I'm not going to go and teach on every one of these things, but it will amaze you when you dig in and study Scripture that how many sins that are named in Scripture that cause great damage are about the lust of the flesh, fornication, adultery, things of this nature, lasciviousness, and so many other sins have their root within fornication. But he says in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." God did not call us to walk in these sins. He did not call us to be like these people. And I tell you, there is a lot of God's people that have thrown away their works and their life because they are following lust. And sadly, we live in a day and time where even people that say that they're churchgoers, they're children of God, that they're walking in these sins. They've not just made a mistake and been overtaken in a fault. They're living in these sins. And they don't even see the danger of it. They don't even see what God says. These type of people are not inheriting the kingdom of God. There's a difference between salvation and inheritance. Not going to get on that side of it today. But fornication is one of the works of the flesh. It is not of the Spirit. Boundaries that God has given us is for a reason, and it's for our benefit and our good. And we need to control ourselves at an early age in life, the earlier the better, to put our bodies under the subjection of Christ and not under the will of our flesh. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, as we mentioned earlier, verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints." I don't know how many plainer that he could talk about. And you even deal with the sin of covetousness. You go back under the law, the Ten Commandments. What's one of the covets? "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." To be thankful for what you already have. To be content and happy with what you have in God. Makes a big difference. Fornication, uncleanliness, covetous. It should not be named once among you as become a saints. And he goes on to name other sins. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Let's pick up in verse 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Sanctification means to be set apart. "That ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel," that means our bodies, "in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." God does not want us acting like the world. And He has given us the Spirit of God to dwell within us to overcome the spirit of our flesh. What does it show when God's people are acting the same way as the world? I'll tell you this, it's not light. It's not upholding Christ. It is darkness. It is not good. And I think a lot of God's people would be amazed that they knew how much fornication was just this accepted sin that's going on in the world. And how you'll hear even young people, "Well, everybody's doing it." We're not everybody. We're the children of God, not the children of the world. We're not to act like everybody else. He said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Again, what we read earlier is it should not be named once among us as become saints. It's being named a whole lot more than once in our day and time, and it's a shame. And some people say, well, preacher, you know, we made mistakes early on in life. That don't mean we accept it, and it doesn't mean we justify it. Repent. And when we repent, we're saying we no longer agree with these things. We once walked in these sins when we were following the lust of our mind, the lust of our flesh, as the Bible talks about. But now are ye a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We shouldn't accept these things because we say, well, you know, we weren't perfect. We made mistakes. All these other things. That's no excuse. That is the devil talking for us to excuse sin. That's not what we should do as Christians. We should encourage people. And listen, I believe in forgiveness when people fail. I believe in helping those that are overcome in a fault and helping lift them back up. But allowing people to live in this kind of sin is dangerous to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is dangerous in the working of sharing the gospel with others. And I wouldn't have the time to go through all the conversations I've had with lost people just on this subject. And you know what I mean by talking to lost people on this subject? I've heard people say, well, this girl over here down at the church, you know what she's been going around doing? How much of a hindrance is that to lost people? Well, you know, this boy over here, oh, he tries to go to church and say he has a good reputation. Even the lost know that that's a sin. And they say, I don't know why I need Christ, this person over here acting like the rest of us. We're of the Lord, not of the world. We need to know how we need to conduct ourselves in these vessels. Possess is the word that's used here. Possess His vessel in sanctification and honor. And that honor belongs to God, not us. Fornication is giving honor to ourselves. Sanctification is giving honor to God. Turn to one other place, the book of Jude. And I know this is going to a different form of fornication that we know about in the Scripture. Verse 7 of the book of Jude. It said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. Notice that statement, giving themselves over to fornication. And I tell you what, that city got to where there was no boundary, was there? Sounds a lot like the world we're dealing with today. There is no rules. There is no boundaries. And I tell you, when you let a little sin in, a little sin leaveneth the whole lump, and before too long, you got sin going in every direction. They got to the place that they were given over to fornication and going after strange flesh. We know what that strange flesh was. And notice what he said, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Is God saying that fornication's a big deal? He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, preacher, he destroyed that because of homosexuality. Where do you think that started? They started with fornication. If I can get the word out. Fornication. They started out with a small sin. And then that wasn't enough to satisfy them. Y'all ever notice things about drugs and things about sin? Things about money? There's never enough to satisfy, is there? You ever met a person that said, I got enough money to satisfy me? Even billionaires want to make some more money, don't they? Because it's never enough. And you know, a man that has a girlfriend on the side is one enough? Never is it? There's always another. There's never enough satisfaction. And before too long, they give over to the place that even a woman is not enough for the man. He needs another man. And the woman is, you know, a man's not enough for her. She goes to a woman. You say, oh, preacher, you stretching things. No, that's how it begins. That's how the sin of fornication begins, is that you're not satisfied. My goodness, we got people so not satisfied, they're not even glad to be who they were born to be. Women want to change into men. Men want to change into women. Well, where does that come from? Nothing I do satisfies me. So they live in some fantasy world. They make up things for themselves. And let me tell you this, even when they obtain all that, they're still not satisfied. Because those things don't bring satisfaction. Those things don't bring peace and joy that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. And all they're doing is chasing one lust after another, trying to fulfill a hole and emptiness within them as lost people that only the Lord can fulfill. And they're getting outside of the boundaries that God has set. And the boundaries, as we mentioned earlier, is every man to have his own wife, every woman to have her own husband. Now, I could have read on in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and even talk about how it's better if a person can even abstain from marriage and just give themselves wholly unto the Lord. But there's not many people that are able to do that. God knew that from the beginning. My goodness, Adam himself couldn't be satisfied with all the good creation that God had made and all the animals and things of the world. And so God had to create him a helpmeet, a woman. And he said, for that cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. There are rightful things. There are rightful places for things. But there's boundaries for it. And if we don't know what the boundaries are, we're going to make a whole world of mistakes. And once you cross one line, before too long you've crossed another line, and then another line, and then another line. Before too long, there's no line. And let me tell you, that's how Sodom and Gomorrah came to be. They crossed one line, and well, this is not that wrong. This isn't that bad. We don't have the whole history of those towns, but I can just tell you by human nature, this is how it happened. A line was crossed, and they said, well, that line's not too bad, and they crossed another line. And before too long, there was no line, was there? They got to the place that they were chasing strange flesh. They got to the place when the angels came to carry Lot and his family out of that place. They were ready to break down the doors to get to those angels, weren't they? Because there was no line. Consent wasn't even necessary, was it? There was no line anymore. Do we not see that in our world today where there's no line? I tell you, in a very short amount of time, we've gone from a lot of America saying homosexuality was wrong to where you got people who won't even say transgenderism is wrong. You got people saying that it's not even wrong for an adult to lust after a child and all these other things. Where does the line stop? I can tell you this, with sin, there is no line. You keep going down that path, there will be an endless line to going after strange flesh. But God said He set them forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The wages of sin is death. Marriage is honorable. It's upright. Oh, we love to uphold marriage and we love to talk about the joy of a family and the importance of a husband and a wife working together for the glory of God. And we've even read scriptures that deal with that subject today. But I tell you, we start breaking down the boundaries that God has set. Before too long, there is no boundaries. And we have seen that in our world in a very short amount of time and how it's increased rapidly. There are boundaries, and they're there for a good reason. They're there for our good. They're there for our benefit if we'd listen to them. And people might say, well, how does this all deal with adultery? As we mentioned earlier, if we don't set these boundaries for ourselves, what's the boundaries once you say I do? How many people today enter marriage and think that it's, I can leave it when I want to? Well, if my wife isn't the wife I think she can be, I can just find somebody else to fulfill my desires with. I tell you, fornication is one of the sins that leads to that. That leads to that mindset, that type of thinking. It shouldn't be named once among us as becoming saints. Know the dangers of this sin. Know the harm that it does to a family. And those that are young know the dangers of these sins. You're not just harming yourself right now. You're harming your marriage down the road. I'm not even married yet. Trust me, things you do now can have an effect on things later. They can. And a lot of times they will. I'll even say this, it goes along the line of fornication. There's a lot of people that because of the cell phones and all this, the average child now is seeing pornography around between the ages of 10 and 12. Now, a lot of it has to do with smartphones. I'm not preaching this person can't have a smartphone, but I'll tell you this, they don't belong in the hands of a child. And if an adult can't control themselves, it don't belong in their hands either. I know technology is nothing but an empty instrument. It's no different than a radio or anything else. You have to have some control over your own vessel. That's in anything you do. But I tell you, there are a lot of kids accessing a lot of things on some little handheld device, and it is corrupting their minds where they are seeking pleasure instead of seeking love. They're seeking flesh instead of seeking to bring glory and honor to God. It is corrupting their minds, and we need to make sure that they know what you do now, what you see now, what you apply your heart and mind to will affect you on down the road. And it can have huge effects on your marriage. I have counseled people that have had to deal with this stuff. We need to understand the dangers of fornication. We need to see the harm in it. And what we also need to see is that if we're saved, we are sanctified for the Lord's use, not for ourselves. We're here to honor God, not to bring pleasure to ourselves. That's the mindset of the world, not the mindset of God in Christ. If we get our minds in the right place, we can have good godly marriages. We can have good godly homes. We can raise good godly children and point them in the ways of Christ. But if we let fornication and these other sins lead us, it's going to have devastating and damaging effects. Don't let it happen. Our families are important. Our lives being sanctified unto the Lord are important. Let His light shine through us and not the darkness of sin. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.